You know, I was thinking, you know, in the 50s, they brought us TV. Remember, TVs were brought into the 50s, and then we had a phenom happening by the name of Elvis Presley. Any Elvis fans out there? Come on now. Anybody else all shook up during worship? All right, there you go. We had some 50s out there. How about the 60s? Anybody like the 60s out there? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you remember that. 60s brought us civil rights. It brought us movements of the civil rights. It brought us Dr. King. It brought the Beatles. Any Beatlemanias out there? Yeah, you remember the Beatles? Yeah. Some of you now who would never do anything like that in church. I remember when Beatlemania come on, you're going crazy, right? How about the 70s? Anybody, any 70s kids out there? Well, you guys are awful quiet. I'll tell you what now. 70s brought us what? The continuation of the Vietnam War, the protest of the Vietnam War. We had the color TV takeover. A lot of cool bands in the 70s, right? How about the 80s? Any 80s kids out there, yeah? Yeah, 80s was a great generation. I do say so myself. We had the founding of music television, better known as MTV. We had some great bands such as Journey and other great bands along the way. We had cable TV took over. The news TV began to take over. We had a lot of big hair and bright colors. How about the 90s? Anybody like the 90s? Yeah. When Blockbuster ruled the world. How many remember that? Yeah. Blockbuster ruled the world in the 90s, and it brought us the internet, thanks to Al Gore. That's a good thing. Yeah, right, Tom. Everybody had a home computers were introduced now. We could buy and have our own home computer, and you could dial up the internet. You remember those days when you actually had to wait on an internet connection? And you'd hear it go. And you're like waiting, you know, is it going to connect? Is it not going to connect? And the connection, yes, I got connection, baby. And so, yeah, it was a long process. And when the screen would load, it was like this. We're so high tech, right? Kids these days do not understand the waiting on the internet. And then the 2000s brought us the iPod. Somebody like the iPods in the 2000s. 2000 kids here, come on now. Anybody for the 2000s in the house? Yeah, you guys, come on, you weak. Come on now. Any 2000s in the house? Okay, let's listen to you guys. You got some iPod? Anybody had an iPod? Anybody had an iPod? Raise your hand if you had an iPod. I mean, this was a technology in one little system. You could contain all those hundreds and hundreds of songs right there. No longer did you need cases and cases to hold your cassettes and CDs. Now you can have it all in the touch of your hand. It also brought us the iPhone. What would our world be without the iPhone right now? And then it had the introduction of the 2000s brought Netflix. I mean, now you watch Netflix now on the push of button, but remember Netflix started off, you would pick out a movie and they'd send it off and they would mail it to your house. You didn't have to go to the store like Blockbuster to get it. They would actually mail you the DVD and then you mail it back and get another selection. That's how Netflix started. Then it went to the kiosk. Of course, now you can drive up and get it at the kiosk, but most of us all use it on our TVs by an app. Just a push of the button. Technology changes generation to generation. It's kind of fun to see and to think about how the phones and iPhones and music and our entertainment, our color TVs went from black and white to color, now high def, now to 4K and all these things. Technology keeps changing and changing. But one thing that doesn't change is the Word of God. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We got to remember that. Technology may change, and methods may change, and dress may change, and fads will come and go, but the Word of God will stand from generation to generation. And if you don't know this, we need all generations. Let me say again, we need all generations today. It's not just one generation that's more important than the other generation. We need all generations. Look at Proverbs 20:29. Look what it says. The glory of the young is their strength. And the gray hair of experience is the splendor of the old. You see, it's a blending. It's a blending of the two. We need the strength of the young. We need the strength of the young. And we need the experience of the old. And when you combine the strength and the manpower and the excitement and the energy of the young with the wisdom of the old and you bring the two together, you become a powerful force. You become something God can really use. And God made us to need each other. We need wisdom from those who've gone on before, and we need the strength and energy of those who are coming up next. It's a marriage that is called to work together. And too many churches are doing one or the other. Too many churches are either trying to reach all the young, and the church about reaching the young, and they never honor the old, or we have a church you stuck in a time lapse and never does anything to reach the young. It's my church. It's the songs. They're still singing those same songs we sung today. Those will be new for some churches because they've been singing the same songs for 40 years. They've been sitting in the same chair for 40 years and never have gotten out to bless anybody or bring anybody else to Jesus. And so we've got to make sure that we are a multi-generation church, because the kingdom of God is a multi-generation kingdom. And we're all called to work together. And so we are called to honor those who've gone before, and we're called to reach the ones who are coming next. It's a tricky situation. And sometimes we only do one or the other. And so we gotta make sure that we become balanced, that we continue to honor those who've gone before. We wouldn't be here without the faithfulness of the generation with some gray hair, because I'm starting to get some gray hair now. Yeah, and my kids gave them all to me, but yeah, tell you what, and I'm starting to get that now, and I wouldn't be here without those who've gone on before. I wouldn't be here without those who've sacrificed. I wouldn't be here without those who've faithfully attended, faithfully given, faithfully served the house of the Lord. We wouldn't be here, and today it's important that we remember whose shoulders we're standing on. It's important we remember without the prayers of the saints who prayed for us, they may not have came in and be able to physically do things the way some of the youth have, but they have interceded and they've prayed and they've given and they've sacrificed so that we could continue to reach the next generation. Without them, we can't go there. Without them, we can't reach the next generation. We need the prayers, support, the giving. We need the wisdom, the experience. It's important. So at Destiny, we want to honor the older generation while reaching the next generation. That's important. So if anybody asks you, you can tell them that. At Destiny, we want to honor the older generation while reaching the next generation. And I love that because I can tell you, there's not a person here of the older generation who doesn't believe in reaching the next generation. That's why they're here, because they know our church is about trying to reach the next generation. And they've told me that personally. Pastor, it's not always my cup of tea. Not everything you do with the lights and not everything we do with the music is my cup of tea. But I'm thrilled to death that you're bringing in young families. I'm thrilled to death you're bringing in young people. I'm thrilled to death that you're reaching people. That makes my heart sing. And then it invites me to come along. And some of you are like, no, Pastor, I love it. I love the new songs and I love it. I love growing. I love stretching. But either way, we wouldn't be here without the attitude and the support and the giving of those who've come before us. But we have a responsibility to reach the next generation. And it's changing. It's changing. Technology's changing. Our methods of reaching them have to change. We've got to be innovative. We've got to be thinking about things, how we can reach. It's always changing, always growing. And what we come out of this next season is going to be very, very important. Today, I really feel, as I prayed about this message, I believe that we need to teach the next generation. There's five things I want to give you today that the Lord put in my heart to share with you, and I want to give them to you. Five things I want us to pass on to the next generation, and they're good for us as well, okay? Number one, look at this. Your truth is not necessary the truth. Oh, it's going to get good today. I can tell you that right now. Your truth is not necessary the truth. There is a popular movement right now that is teaching from secular universities all the way down in society where everybody is telling you this universal truth is whatever your truth is, that is truth. Now, let me say this. Your feelings are true to you. If you feel something, no one can deny that's the way you feel. But just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean it's the truth. Are you following me? There's a big communication gap there, understanding that just because I feel something is true doesn't mean it makes it true. And that we got to make sure we bring our children up into a place where they understand there is a guidance for truth. Look what John 17:17 says. Make them holy by your truth. This is what Jesus said. He was praying for his disciples. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is the truth. And so today we got to teach our children that the word of the Lord is our gauge for truth. This is how we balance what truth is. This is how we gain and measure our truth, is does it agree with the word of God? Does it conflict with the word of God? If it conflicts with the word of God, it is not truth. It can't be truth. And so we got to make sure that we can push against this movement that everybody's truth is truth. No, that's not right. It may be how you honestly feel, and we're not saying that's not wrong, but what I'm saying is the truth is never going to change. It's the truth of God's word. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on now, look what Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's what God's telling us. Neither are my way, your ways, my ways, declares the Lord. Let's read that part again. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. This is what Jesus told us. He says, the distance between us and the heavens, that's how much distance between our thoughts and God's thoughts. I mean, it's not even comprehensible. We can't even understand God's thoughts. They're so much different than ours. So how can my thoughts be truth? How can my thoughts be truth if they're not God's thoughts? He says, my thoughts are not your ways. So we got to get past that thinking, oh, my thoughts are the truth. No, they're not. No, they're not. God's already placed his word right here. These are what he wants us, the guidance of truth right here. It's the word of God. It does not change. And they're higher than our thoughts. Well, and what we think is, you know what? Well, I would do this, so God would do this. I think this is okay, so God thinks this is okay. We think, you know what? I would never treat people this way, so God would never treat people this way. And what happens is we start replacing our thoughts with God's thoughts, and we never listen to God's thoughts. It's pushing us there right now. Society is pushing us there. This universal Christianity, that the redemption of God is already for everybody. Everybody's already received it. So just let your thoughts be where they want to be. It's not truth, okay? It's not truth. We got to come against that and teach our children right, that the only way to know truth is to honor the word of the Lord. It's to know the word of the Lord. It's to live out the word of the Lord. It's to hold true to the word of the Lord. We got to make sure we're teaching. See, everybody wants to share their thoughts today. We got more platforms than ever. We got people, everybody's got their own thought page. You can blast it out there for the whole world to see. You can start your own podcast. You can have your own YouTube channel. You can write a book now easier than ever. You can do all this. And everybody wants to share their thoughts. And I think it's given us this platform, and we're thinking that I'm right. Listen, I'm not right. Only God's right, okay? Are you hearing me? Only God's right. That's why when I teach you, you always hear me use the word of the Lord as a biblical backup for what I'm teaching you. If you cannot use scripture in a theological correct way to back up what you're teaching, you shouldn't be teaching it. Why? Because it's important that his truth remains the truth. And if I'm giving my opinion, I need to state that. This is just my opinion, okay? And you've heard me say that a few times. When I'm teaching something, I say, this is just my opinion. And I'll tell you that. Because it's important that we remain the truth of the Lord is the truth of the Lord. We have people who say, I would never send people to hell, so why would God send people to hell? I don't know that answer, but I know this. His thoughts are not my thoughts. And I can't comprehend how a father would give his only son for people who don't even love him at the time. I can't comprehend that. But his thoughts are not my thoughts. His way is not my way. We got to stop seeing this thing. Stop replacing the word. Listen to me. Stop replacing the word with podcasts. Stop replacing the word with your favorite preacher. Stop replacing the word with your favorite book. There's nothing wrong with those things. They can bring strengthening and understanding, but you cannot substitute that for the truth. See, those things should complement what you're already putting into your spirit. I'm reading the Word of God for myself. I'm understanding the Word of God for myself. And when I hear somebody teaching, oh, that brings alignment to what I've already read. Oh, that's helping me have even a deeper understanding. But it can't replace the truth for yourself. We got to teach our children the truth, or they're going to fall for anything. They're going to follow anybody. And you're going to sit back and go, wonder what happened to my kids? They're falling off in some strange tangent. Now, that what happens? We got away from the truth. We got to bring back and center our children around the truth of God's word. We got to stop worshiping Christian superstars. Come on now. We got to stop worshiping Christian superstars. More than ever, it's easy with this social media driven society where we have a superstar Christian who's got millions of followers. There's nothing wrong with him using those platforms to reach people. That's what it should be about. But we got to be mature enough to know I can't just go around worshiping superstar Christians. And then when they make a mistake or they fall, then we're like, oh, what happened? You know, more than ever, every week it seems like, or every month I'm hearing of a major Christian superstar who's walking away from the faith or who's making major mistakes, and then people are all let down. Listen, we're not to put any man on a platform. We're only to worship the Lord, okay? No man should put up on a pedestal an idol. There is none other than God, okay? We're all falling short of the glory of God. And so we need to make sure that we are driven by the truth. Are you understanding me? Are you following me today? Look at this, Isaiah 66:2. Has not my hands made all these things, and so they came into being, declares the Lord. These are the ones I look upon with favor. You want favor of the Lord? This is what he says. He looks for those who are humble, contrite in spirit, and whose tremble at my word. These are the ones God looks with favor upon. Those who understand the word, those who tremble at the word of the Lord. You want to teach your children to walk in favor of God? Teach them to respect and tremble at the word of God. Teach them to have a respect and understand this is the what I've got to center my life upon. This is the rock that he will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. I'm telling you, this is what we got to teach our children. This humbleness, contrite, not this Christian superstardom, something that happens out there. Only I can grow in Christ if I get 10,000 followers watching me and they like my scripture out there. Then I'm a Christian mega. No. It's about do you know the word? And are you living it out? Is it the foundation of your life? Your truth is not necessarily the truth. I know it's a big one to swallow, right? But it's really prevailing in our society, and we got to teach our children what the truth is, and the truth will never change. If you agree with that, say amen. All right. They get a little easier. Oh, maybe they don't. All right. Number two, forsake not coming to church. Now, I'm preaching to the choir today because you're here and you picked a good Sunday to be here today. So turn to your neighbor and say, you picked a really good Sunday to be at church. Listen, we see the trends happening. And I've shared this before. It used to be that 80% of your core of your church was 80%, and you could count on them to be here every week. And then it's like now it's about 40% is now a core of your church, and the other 60% come about once every 6 to 8 weeks. And they think, this is my home church. I love my home church, but you only see them every 6 to 8 weeks. And then since COVID let out and we came back, now across the world, and especially in the United States, we're seeing only a third of the people have made it back to church. That's the national average. A third of the churches are what has happened. Now, some people don't need to be here because they're in a physical place where they need to protect themselves. They have conditions that they need to stay and protect themselves. And I understand if you're being cautious. We got people who have brand new babies. We have people who are getting ready to have brand new babies. And those things are all wisdom, okay? I'm not against any of that. I'm not trying to shame anybody who is not here because of conditions. And I have other people who talk to him, Pastor, we're going to get back, but we're just being really careful right now because we're around our parents or we're around this or around that, and we're trying to be really careful. But then I see him out at restaurants. I see him out at Lowe's. I see him out at Walmart. I see him at Target. I see him at Kohl's. I see him at Ross. I see him at the mall. I mean, come on now. If you're going to risk anything, how about risking coming to church? That can really change your life. I'm just saying. If you're listening today, I'm preaching to you. That's right. No, listen, this is for you today, because if we want to have the broadcast online for those who can't be here. That's what it's for. If you're out of town, if you're sick, you're not physically able to be in the house, then this is for you to listen today, and we're glad you can listen. But if you're physically able to be here, you need to be here. We got to remember that we're called for each other. We need each other. You need encouragement of each other. And we see now it's already setting in. People are already starting to fall away because they don't have that encouragement coming in. Look what Hebrews 10:25 says. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. See, this has always been a problem. This is not a current problem. It's always been a problem. But we come together to encourage one another, especially now that the day of return is drawing near. And I can tell you, it's drawing near even closer now than it was when this was originally written. So we know today that it's important that we come together. We need to be in the house of the Lord. We need to train our children to be in the house of the Lord. We need to, our marriages need it. Our lives need it. Our children need it. You need it. We need to be in the house of the Lord as much as possible. Listen, men today, lead your family to church. Men, have your family in the house of the Lord. Men, get up and say, we're going to church this weekend. You make the decision. Men, if you're listening online today, get up, get your family next week and say, we're getting back to church. We're going to plug back into church. It's time. We've been missing way too much. It's time to get back in. We got to teach the next generation. We're only one generation from all this disappearing. We're only one generation away from all this disappearing. If we don't value it, if we don't teach our children to value it, then they will not value it. And the only time they'll want to show up is Easter and Christmas, and the rest of the time it's not important. And then we wonder why their children don't even acknowledge God, because we didn't pass it down. We got to make sure we do that, and that's the third point. We got to teach your children and your grandchildren. You got to teach your children and your grandchildren. Look at our text in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We say that every day, every week here at Destiny. Well, almost every week we pray that prayer over our children. It's our job to train up the children. Let me say this to you. The church cannot train your child up 1 hour a week. It is your job. And when you're at the house, that when you're in the car, when you're having dinner, when you're sitting around and just talking to your children, that you train up the children and talk about the things of the Lord, that you share your testimony, you share your struggles, you share what God's speaking to you, ask them important questions, and you teach them and train them up. Parents, are you training up your children to know the Lord? What if the government came in and closed us down permanently? Do you know enough to train up your own children? Can you train up your own children? You got to know this. You got to be ready. You got to be ready. I got to pass this on to the next generation. I got to pass it on to my children's children. You got to pass on the stories about what God has done in your life. You got to pass on the goodness of God. You need to be having these conversations with your children. You need to be training them up. Luke 9:48. Jesus was teaching to a big crowd, and it says that he picked up one of the children. He says, anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me also welcomes my Father who sent me. Whoever is the least among you is the greatest. And Jesus was saying in that illustration, it says that he reached up and he grabbed the child and he was carrying him as he was talking. And he was saying, anybody who ministers to this child, you're ministering to me. If you're ministering to me, you're ministering to the Father. I mean, he was trying to let us know the importance of reaching our children. He was saying it's important to reach the children. It's important. Don't neglect our children. They need to be taught who God is. They need to be taught who God is in our family. Let me just add this to you. Attending church should not be a choice of a child. I know people say, well, I don't want to force my kids to go to church because if I do, then they're going to grow up hating the church and they won't want to come. Listen, I hated going to church when I was a kid. I ain't going to lie. I hated it. We sang songs that, oh my God, it was horrible. And they had no relevance to my life at all. They put me to sleep. I didn't understand one thing the pastor was teaching. You know, it was better caught than taught, you know. You screamed at us the whole time. We sung songs. I was like, man, this was crazy. I hated it. But I didn't have a choice. It was not an option. I didn't have a choice to go. And I turned out all right, I think. You know what I mean? I think God got a hold of me at some point through all that chaos. God still spoke to me. He got the hold of you as well. And it shouldn't be a choice. And I say this to you. It makes about as much sense as saying, you know what? You call the principal up in October and say, you know what? My kid's not going to come to school anymore. I know they're 12 years old now, and they decided they don't like school. So I decided they can just stay home and play video games in my basement all year. We would never do that, right? No, we know they need to be at school. We know they need to grow. You got to have the same mentality. You know, as long as they're a minor and in your house, they should be coming to the house of the Lord with you. It's not a choice thing. It's just an honor thing. You have to make a choice to serve God on your own. I can't make you make a decision. But as long as we're here and you're a minor, we're going to honor the house of the Lord. We're going to be here as much as possible. That's just good teaching. All right, parents, are you catching me today? All right? All right. Number four, we're getting close here. God wants more than just part of your life. We got to teach our children God wants more than just a part of your life. Because that's where we're heading. When we only attend church once out of every 6 weeks, we're saying God only gets a small part of our life. He only gets when it's convenient. And this is a bad trend that we're setting an example for the next generation. No, they need to know that God wants full surrender of our life. God wants us to go all in. God wants us to serve him with all that we have. Look what Mark 12 and 29 and 30 says. Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. He goes, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. Okay? He's the one and only God. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. He didn't say you should love the Lord your God when it's convenient with your leftovers. No, he wants it all. That's what we're learning to do. The Christian walk is about learning to fully surrender all of my life to Jesus. And we got to teach our children this, that God wants more than just a Sunday slice. God wants more than just ever so often. God is looking for an everyday relationship with us. What's that look like? God wants me to serve him when I'm at school. God wants me to serve him when I'm at work. God wants me to serve him on the ball field. God wants me to serve him when I'm hanging out with my friends. God wants me to serve him at every area of my life. God wants to be a part of that. It's mixed in every area of my life. It's just not one slice of the pie. It's all mixed into whole ingredients. God wants to be in every part of it. And number five. This is my last point I'm going to give you, so I want you to wake up because it's going to tell you right here. We need to teach our children that heaven is real and so is hell. We don't talk about it enough, do we? We don't talk about it enough. They need to understand that heaven is real and so is hell. We need to be talking and be looking forward to a place that God has promised us. And Jesus even talked about it in John 14, verses 2 and 4. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go away to prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare a place for you, he goes, then I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. See, he's telling us this, that he is coming for us back again. And he's taking us to a place he's preparing for us. And the Bible is full of scripture that describes heaven, that has seen heaven, and is a promise of heaven, a place of no more sickness, no more racism, no more division, no more strife, no more pain, no more viruses. I'm telling you, it's going to be a place of eternal joy where we'll spend eternity with Jesus. And we gotta talk about it. Heaven is real, and I want you to be there with me. To all of my children, I tell them, heaven is real. I want you to spend eternity with me. I want you to be there with me, spending eternity. I care about your life. I care about your soul. I care about your heart. Are you right with God, son? Are you right with God, daughter? And let them know heaven is real. It's a promise we have. It's what we live our life for. Don't get caught up in so many things that take away your eternity. And if heaven is real, then hell must also be real. And as I talked about, my truth, and the very first thing, my truth is not necessarily the truth. There's a lot of people now teaching, well, if God is love and he loves all people, which is very true, God is love, and his grace is for all who accept him and who surrender their life to him, then how could God send people to a fiery hell? Look what it says here in Matthew 13:47. Jesus was teaching the parable and the story. He says, once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake, and it caught all kinds of fish. And when it was full, the fishermen pulled it up upon the shore. Then they sat down and they collected the good fish in the baskets, but they threw the bad ones away. He goes, this is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and they will separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's important that our children know that hell is real. And how could people ask the question, how could a loving God, full of grace, send people to hell? And I would say God will never send anybody to hell. We send ourselves. Hell was not designed for you and I. You got to understand, hell was not designed for you and I. Heaven was designed for you and I. But we got to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. We got to submit to his lordship, and then his blanket of grace will cover us. It allows me to be righteous even when I don't deserve it. But I've got to teach these things to our children, because if we're not careful, hell becomes just another fairy tale. Red Riding Hood and the Wicked Witch, and then there's hell. And no, hell's a real place. I don't want anybody to go there, and I want to spend the rest of my life pulling people into the net. Pulling people into the net and say, no, you don't have to go there. How about you? I want to spend the rest of my life taking people to heaven with me. I want to spend the rest of my life taking people out of the grips of hell and saying there's a different place you can go, and it's called heaven. It's redemption. It's a place we got to train our children. There's so many things we could teach our children. This list could go on and on and on. But I believe today these are things that are very relevant to right now, right today. This is why I feel like the Lord had me to share with you. And I want you to commit to saying, you know what, in my life, I want to make sure that I'm putting these things first. I want to make sure I'm training up my children and my grandchildren and the knowledge of the truth of the word of the Lord. If you're committed to that today, raise your hands. That's me. I want to do that. Yeah. Amen. I want you to bow your heads. As we go along in the service, I want to ask you the question. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I don't want to go to hell. I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. All it simply takes is you acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord in your heart and then confessing with your mouth. If that's you today, we won't do anything to embarrass you, but we're going to give you a chance to respond and say, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm ready to surrender to his truth in my life. Without anybody else looking, can you just raise your hand where I can see it? Let me know that you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Today's your day. You're ready. Thank you. Anybody else want to join you? Raise them high if you haven't raised it yet. We're going to say this prayer, and we had those who raised their hands. So I want you to repeat this prayer after me if you raise your hand especially. And with Christians around you, we're going to say it with you to help you along. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I surrender all of my life to you. I believe you are the Messiah. who died on the cross for me. And from this day forward, I will live for you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say welcome to the family of God. Put your hands together. Welcome to the house of the Lord.